Yes.
Hey, everyone online, can you hear us in the room?
Can hear you fine.
Yay. All right, we'll give it another minute and then we can get started. Well, caught that. Impressive. Very sensitive. All right. So, what time is it? 11. Guess we might as well get rolling because we have a. I should say that into the microphone. We'll get rolling because we got a bit of things to get through here. So I'll just dive into it. So, hello everyone. My name is Ryan Taylor. I am a product owner for Data Import, and today we're going to do a little combo session between Autumn and I. I'll be giving updates and on some of the work we've done for the most recent releases of Folio in regards to Data Import. And Autumn is going to walk us through some user tips and workflows in relation to Data Import. So I will just get rolling. Assuming my slides will slide. There we go. All right. So here's our agenda here. Like I said, we'll cover some latest updates around Data Import, what's been done under Sunflower and Trillium releases. We'll also get into some concepts around potential projects for the future, whether that be Umbrella Leaf or a further release, and give you an idea of some of the projects we're considering for future releases. So first, for latest updates here, I do want to call out that the data import community, we previously used to meet as a subgroup of metadata management. Now, as of the summer, we are our own SIG, the data import SIG. So it's nice to see there are several folks either in the room or online with us that are part of the SIG, no longer subgroup, data import SIG. Our thinking in this switch was to help give data import more exposure within the community and trying to get stronger collaboration across other SIGs, which so far I think has been working great. And we now have two co-conveners. We have Jennifer Eustace and Christy Thomas, who are leading the charge for us now and doing a great job. And we've seen already a uptick of people showing up to the SIGs since we've kind of changed gears a little bit, which is really exciting. And I have some notes towards the end of this of how you could join if you haven't already. So, diving into updates for data import. As of the Sunflower release, a key feature update that we have is support for flagging a instance as set for deletion. So this is the concept of the soft delete that we have today. Future state, hopefully, we're scheming for the near future of supporting hard deletes, but for now it's still a soft delete, but with a new flag that really spells it out for users in inventory that something has been set for deletion. In relation to that inventory work, we also updated data import to support processing MARC records with a leader 05 of D to indicate that something has been deleted. That will now be recognized when the MARC record is processed. And once it's loaded into inventory, either as a create for a new instance or as an update to an existing instance, if the leader 05 is D, it will receive the set for deletion flag, as well as suppress from discovery and staff suppress. So you'll see that as of Sunflower release. Outside of feature work, I also wanted to highlight some enhancements and bug resolutions that the team has worked on as part of Sunflower. So one of them here, mod inventory 1114, these are Jira ticket numbers. We did work to enhance how data import operates when using MARC bibliographic records as submatches. Previously, it was not supported to use a MARC bib for a submatch in your job profile. As of Sunflower, now it is. And that's been working great in our testing. We also, the team, Team Folajet, who works on data import development, created a script that will allow you to delete old versions of records. If you've ever dug around in the back end, you'll notice that when an instance updates, an old version is hung on to in the back end that gets marked as state of old, while the current version gets the state of current. And this script will allow you to clear some of those old versions out of there just to get rid of unwanted data. We don't want that to negatively affect how Folio is operating. So this is an option to do that. And we are looking into further options for data cleanup in the future to make it more automated. But for now, there is a script available as of Sunflower. And we also, through a couple of tickets, addressed an issue where if an empty contributor and vendor reference properties were created in orders, when no values were in the incoming record, it would make it so that the PO would be uneditable at that point. So we, of course, want people to be able to edit their POs as they need to. So through these couple tickets, we also address this issue, and that is fixed as of Sunflower. More recently, we've been working on and are still in development on Trillium. So I wanted to give some highlights of the work you will see for Trillium release, which we're aiming for early 2026 release. Some of the key features related to data import that we've been working on here is first one at the top here, UXPROD 4704 stop processing the job after it's canceled by the user. So today in data import, you may find that if you cancel a job before it completes, the UI says that it's been canceled and everything looks great. If you look on the back end, you might see that it's actually still running, which doesn't make sense. So we have worked to address that as part of Trillium, which I'm excited about getting that cleaned up for the user process. And I also know that this is something, if anyone attended the roadmap session earlier this week, where we talked about priorities that SIGs have organized, this is one of the items on the data import priorities list. So I'm happy to see we're able to get aligned on that and get that fixed up for Trillium. We've also done a couple features worth of analysis and spike work to support future projects. First one is around data cleanup. Like I mentioned before, the concept of cleaning out old versions of instances when they're not needed. There's also other temporary data, things like that, that we want to be able to programmatically clean up to make sure that there's no unnecessary data just kind of sitting around that could slow things down for the users. So that's something we're doing analysis work on now to inform work for a future release. And similarly, we have this work of analysis for mark updates for updating individual fields. So this is something that the data import SIG has talked about quite a bit. It's been really helpful getting into this with the crew. It's really to refine and identify how we want and how we would expect updates to work for individual fields of a mark record, which today there's there are scenarios where we're not really getting what the user would expect when using an update for a single individual field for marks. So that is something we're doing analysis on now, again, for to really get into and develop for a future release. And also for Trillium, some enhancements and bug resolutions. So we addressed an issue where file names that had a numeric prefix, when you looked in the data import log, the prefixes were being removed. So if you had file name 1020 mark record, it would just come up saying mark record, which is not ideal. So we've got that fixed up in Trillium to address that situation. So to make sure when you're looking at the log, it's easy to find exactly the records you were processing. We also made an update to the default mark mapping for the format field to defer to the 338 subfield A if there's no 338 subfield B. And that was something that we got agreement from folks in the data import SIG, as well as folks in the metadata management SIG, that this makes sense to be the default going forward. So the team has gone forward with implementing that for Trillium. And then lastly, for Trillium updates here is a UI fix or update rather that kind of puts in a guardrail of sorts for setting up job profiles. So what we did here is made it so that if you are connecting a action profile to a mapping profile, you'll only see options to link to that have the same record type. So if you have an action profile for instances, you'll only see mapping profile for instances, not mapping profiles for holdings or items or orders or anything else. So that makes it simpler, easier, puts in a guardrail to help avoid any issues where we're getting mismatched record type jobs as part of a job profile. So that should be helpful for users. All right, take a sip of my tea because it's cold in here. And then we can dive into some of the future plans. So, like I said at the top, what I'm going to cover in the future plan section is really concepts we're eyeing for some of our future releases. umbrella leaf plans are still being solidified. So it's no guarantee that all of these will be part of umbrella leaf or exactly what will make it into umbrella leaf. But I want to raise these to give you an idea of what we're working on, either for umbrella leaf or vetch or whatever the W release is. Is it wisteria? Okay. So the next handful of releases, here's some of the ideas that we're cooking up in relation to data import. So for, as I mentioned earlier, kind of building off of those analysis spikes that we've been doing in Trillium to inform these some upcoming work. We have UX Prod 4080 to address the unexpected or unintended results of processing mark updates for individual fields. Again, this is something we've been discussing with the data import SIG quite a bit, and I think we're making some good headway. Folks have been doing testing on behalf of this and kind of getting aligned on what we expect for behavior and how to draft up clear requirements around this. So this is coming together nicely with help of the SIG with informing this. We're also looking to address how the match criteria works in match profiles. So today you'll find that the exactly matches works just as expected, but some of the other options are not quite working as users would expect or as intended. So we want to get into that a bit. And similar to the feature above, spend some time digging into how we would expect these options to work, how we would like it, in a perfect state to behave. So that's something we'll be working on as well. And also picking up on we're working on Trillium for analysis and spike work. We want to look into removing temporary and obsolete data import data programmatically. As I mentioned before, this would be ideal for clearing out unnecessary data to make sure that everything is running at tip-top shape and there's no just unnecessary data sitting around taking up space. So that's something we'll be reviewing as well under UX Prod 3145 feature. As well, for potential projects, we are looking into supporting deleting authority records through data import. So that would kind of be similar to what we've done in support of the instances being set for deletion through Leader05d. So that's something we're working on and looking into for UX Prod 4627. We also have these recurring features you may have noticed in recent releases that we give the title of data import architecture refinements. And these are concepts that our developer leads have worked on alongside our solutions architect, Olamide Kalawale, to kind of identify ways that we can either refine processing or handling around data import to make the to ensure that the system is working nice and smoothly.
I just have a question from chat.
Oh, sure.
Just a clarification. Does this mean, and going back to the authorities, does this mean we will be able to delete unused or duplicate instances soon?
Oh, of instances, I said. Looking into, well, hard deletes is still something we're scheming and planning for down the road. That is where we'd like to get to eventually, but we don't have a solidified feature in support of that right now. It's still kind of in the early stages, but that's definitely still on the radar and part of the overall roadmap for data import processing. So, and as far as duplicates, that's also something we're aware of and looking into, but don't have a feature in place for that right now, or at least requirements set aside. Thank you for the question. Oh yeah, so I was speaking about architecture refinements feature. this one in place here that we're like I said, hoping for working on under umbrella leaf or vetch perhaps would be for supporting better or more useful, more user-friendly error messaging within data import, both in the overall UI or in the logs, any place where a user may encounter error messaging. I know sometimes you may encounter a scenario where a job didn't process as expected, and the error messaging you see might not be the most user-friendly. So we want to do some work there to make it easier to follow and understand exactly what occurred, so it's easier to troubleshoot. Last one here is UX Prod 5293, which is enhancements to data import logs. So this is also something we've spoke about quite a bit within the data import SIG, understanding that there's a need to enhance the data import logs to give more information or allow information to be exported. There's lots of ideas that have been coming through from the SIG, which has been really great. And enhancing this reporting here in the logs would help to users to more efficiently troubleshoot any issues they're encountering. This one here, we're actually approaching as a epic in Jira, with the idea that we'll have smaller features underneath it to s support smaller enhancements, so that we can try and tackle more varied enhancements in without having to take on a massive project. So that should make it easier for us to squeeze in work as we can with the development team. So that is something I'm pretty excited about and hope to get some movement on in the near future. So again, those are potential projects for Umbrella Leaf or Vetch or further releases that we're working on now. I hope to have some more information to share in the near future about what the solidified Umbrella Leaf plan is. And of course, I'll make sure that's shared with the data import SIG and the community when we have that really solidified and we know what the team will be able to take on for the next release. While I have a microphone, I like to give shout outs to those who deserve it, which is a lot of people. I do want to call it the Folajet team. That's the development team who works on data import. They're a really great crew, puts in a ton of work to make things work the way we want them to. So that includes our back-end lead, Katarina, our front-end lead, Maria. As I mentioned, Alameda, our solutions architect, and also Martin Tran, our development manager. And also want to thank everyone on the data import SIG, especially Jennifer and Christy, who have been co-convening most recently. It's a really great crew, lots of great information. Everyone is really great to work with, a lot of good exchange of ideas, and it really helps us to get together. We meet weekly, and it really helps to get everyone's perspective for use cases and all that good stuff, so we can get really clear requirements in place for the developers. So wanted to put that sorry, wanted to put that shout out in there before I lose a microphone. Lastly, like I mentioned, some details for those of you who may not be involved with data import SIG but want to get involved. Like I said, we meet weekly. That's Wednesdays at 1 Eastern, and there's a link here, and I'll post the slides to SCED. And we also have data import lab sessions that meet Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, where that's more so if you're encountering a weird issue and you want to work this out with some other data import users, join the lab, work it out with a group, and you can get some really helpful tips from folks who are deep in it in the data import world. I also have a link to a roadmap page that is on the Folio Wiki that I keep up to date. So if you're interested in what Umbrella Leaf is really shaping up to be for data import, you can keep an eye on that page and follow along. It also gives details of recent work that we've done, like I mentioned, for Trillium and Sunflower. Lastly, Slack channels. Get in here and chat with everyone. For there's a channel for the SIG, and there's also a channel for lab sessions. And with that, I believe I'm going to turn it over to Autumn to get us into some user tips. And in the interest of time, if there are questions, we can do that at the end.
Oh, you got it all nicely set up for that. All
I try.
right. Good morning or afternoon or evening to everyone. Thank you for joining. I'm here to talk to you about practical applications of data import, specifically how we use them at MSU, because I know that it has been helpful for us as we learn to use data import to see how other institutions have set up their workflows. So I'm going to try to get into some detail there. I'm also going to give a high-level overview of data import functionality, which may be redundant for some of you who have been working in it for a while. But just in case, having some like intro information out there in the Folio community, I think is always helpful. And I certainly relied on that when we first migrated. So if it is redundant for you, please feel free to check into your flight, look at dinner menus, whatever, whatever you got going on. So basic facts about us at Michigan State. We're the other MSU. We are not Missouri State. We are Michigan State. Shout out to our doppelgangers. So we've got a pretty good sized technical services team and about a dozen cataloging staff, as well as some librarians and managers. And we also receive a lot of contributions from our acquisitions team who process our shelf-ready materials. So all told, we have about 30,000 new titles going into the catalog each year, coming through all those different cataloging workflows that everybody has, right, for different types of materials. All right, so basics of data import. You'll hear the word job profile thrown around a lot. And what that is actually a collection of smaller components. And we'll look at that pretty closely in a second. But generally, job profiles are the way to get records into inventory. Unless you're using maybe the API, if you have someone skilled at that at your institution. But if you're just working in the UI and you're not using the single record import function in inventory, which has its own limitations based on how you want to do your cataloging, data import is it for you. That's how you get your records in. You can upload MARC or EDIFACT files to data import for processing. EDIFACT is just for, and I'm not an acquisitions person, so shout out if I get this wrong, but I believe EDIFACT can only be used to generate new invoices. So I don't think you can, yeah, you can't overlay on existing invoices or anything like that. So we'll see that when we get to the match point part. Data import can handle very large files and has the ability to slice up those files so that you don't run into performance issues. So while our catalogers generally are bringing in 2, 3, 5, 10 records at a time with data import, we also occasionally are loading 10,000, 20,000 records in, just depending. So it can handle all of that. The components that you need to know about are the match profiles, the action profiles, and the field mapping profiles. And all of these work together in some specific ways. Within a job profile, you must at least have an action profile paired with a field mapping profile. That's kind of like the minimum sort of component that you need for your job profile to work. The match obviously is what allows you to work on existing records. So there's a way to say, If something in my incoming file matches something in my inventory record or even my SRS record, please act on that match. A match profile is not required, though, for a job profile. You may be loading in new records, right? So, just an example of a job profile, the way one of ours works. This is one that we use to overlay on an uncataloged instance that has been created by our acquisitions team. There's a match from the incoming record. We put the HRID in a 9XX field, match on that instance. It updates the instance to add a cat date and unsuppresses it. And it creates a holdings record and it creates an item record with some specified values. And I'll get into that. But you can see how one of these actions is just to update the instance. The next action deals with the holdings. It's not on here, but our next action deals with the item. So generally, your action profiles are telling data import what to do with what type of record. An action profile can be used in multiple job profiles. We have an action profile, a fairly generic one. Go ahead. Oh no. Oh no, this whole time they can't see it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Here, we'll back up. That's okay. Zoom. Let me just get the controls back here. Oh yeah, there's no, there's nothing there. Sorry, guys. How's that? Good? Nice. Okay. Now I have the toolbar, the dreaded toolbar. What is it? Control Alt. Does that work on a Mac? Oh, this isn't a Mac. Control Alt. There's a shift in there, isn't it?
Is
Control. Yeah. Yep.
and we can't see the
You can't see it? Okay. All right. Then it's fine. Okay. All right. So here's a nice picture of MSU that you missed the first time around. Let's do. Is that working okay? Switching from slide to slide on the Zoom. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So you didn't miss a whole lot. Just a screenshot of our list of many, 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 many job profiles at MSU. Here's a graphic of how these components fit together that I'm talking about right now. So we're talking about action profiles. These can do three different operations. So they can create an inventory record, they can create or update an inventory record, they can modify an inventory record or an SRS record. There are some other limitations on what these create and update and modify actions can do and what kind of action or records that they work on. So if you're doing the create operation, like I said, you've got inventory records in there, but also orders and invoices. Update will work on inventory records and SRS records. Modify only works on MARC SRS records. And it helpfully reminds you of that when you go through the screen of creating a new job profile. A match profile can only be used with an update action because you are trying to target certain records already in your system for an update. So you can see here the match profile create screen will helpfully illustrate to you what you are asking it to match on, and you have some specific choices about how to configure that match. Once you have inserted a match profile in your job profile, it's also going to create a section that says this is what to do for non-matches. You can leave that blank if you don't want any action. You can also add more action profiles. If there's something else you want to happen after that. I think I have. Yeah, so here's an example of our workflow from our catalog maintenance group. If a match isn't found, then create a new instance and add these holdings with these values. Submatches can be nested in under a match. So you can match on, in this workflow, we export records from inventory and we set up the export to put holdings and item UUIDs in a mark field so that then we can do this nested match. When we load those records back in, it has holdings UUIDs associated with the record. It has the item UUIDs associated. Then we can operate on those in a cascading way. Okay, and field mapping profiles, these are really those other profiles. I think of them almost more like containers. The field mapping profile is where the magic happens. Like this is where you are actually making the changes or the populating the values you want in your record. So the field mapping profiles get very detailed. They can be quite granular. You can set them up. The instance I showed you, or the example I showed you, where we're updating things on the instance, we're updating the cat date. The field mapping profile is what tells data import to do that. So, field mapping profiles can be used with different action profiles, but an action profile can only be linked to one single field mapping profile, and they always come in pairs. So an action profile says, okay, I need to update this instance. The associated paired field mapping profile tells it how to update the instance. That took me a little while to wrap my head around, which is where drawing pictures for myself has helped. There is a special syntax you can use in field mapping profiles. If you're mapping things from a mark record, you're going to use the field tag, a dollar sign, and the subfield. If you want subfield data specifically, you can use else to create sort of a cascading logic like we have here. This is a field mapping profile for an item. So if I don't have an item status in my incoming record in the 949U, then I want data import to just assign in process. So you can set up some defaults, stuff like that. So again, grouping all of those together, they have to be ordered in a particular way in order for the job profile to work correctly. There is a lot of information about this on the DISIG wiki. We'll talk some more about documentation later today at 2:30. If you want to get into more detail about where to pin down really detailed information about all of this, it is important to note that mark modification action and field mapping pairs need to be positioned in specific spots in a job profile, and there's more information about that here. I mentioned how we will create a special export to prepare for a particular type of job profile. So if I want to change call numbers in existing holding records, and this we're getting into overlap with bulk edit now. Data import is one option for modifying records, and we're increasingly getting more options for that from other areas of Folio. But we can export non-marked data and put it in mark fields like a 9XX. You can load those back into data import and have the data that you want to work with that wouldn't typically be in a mark record. So you have to export your data so you can import your data to change your data. But we have done it and it's been useful in a bunch of different ways. Okay, so let me give you a preview of some workflows that we've set up in tech services that depend on job profiles or incorporate job profiles. I'm just gonna, we'll imagine we're working with an approval plan monograph and we can follow it through tech services units. We are very deeply appreciated acquisitions folks, have worked out a number of different job profiles for dealing with approval plans at Michigan State, and there's some difference in how folks decide to set up their ordering. We load all of our approval orders as pending because once an order is opened, it can be really difficult to edit that order record if you need to, like change a location or something like that. So we load them as pending using one job profile. So the action profile in that job creates an order record. The field mapping sets the order status to pending. We've got some instructions about what happens with the related inventory instance. Orders are opened manually by the acquisition staff. And then at that same time, we run another job profile that matches. It's the same MARC file that's loaded in to create the orders. Then it's loaded in again to deal with the instance that was created when the order was opened. We want to suppress our instances and not create any holdings and items at point of receipt. Things don't get unsuppressed till cataloging. A cataloging job profile we use a lot is, oh, we call it CAT 2 at MSU. Name your job profiles. Give it an start with a naming convention from the beginning. You will thank yourself. You're gonna have a lot of these. So catalogers find that suppressed instance that acquisitions created. They grab that HRID. They throw it into the 949 field of their record as they're editing and connection. So we've set up mappings in a field mapping profile, like so. And the job profile will read the 949. This is all happening in the field mapping, right? So once it matches on the instance HRID, it creates a holdings record and an item record. And we have the opportunity to populate all of these values. Many of them have defaults. They don't have to be supplied, but the cataloger can really customize how that holdings record and item record is going to be created. When it comes to authorities, so let's say our book has been cataloged, it's out on the shelf, it's got a new, it's got an author, whose authority record is not in our system yet. So we work with Backstage to process authorities. We gather new cataloging every month, send it to Backstage, and they send us back files that need to be loaded in. So updated bib records, for instance, like with authorized forms of names that we need to be putting in our catalog. Again, this is a match job profile, right? We're updating our existing records. So we update the SRS, which updates, obviously, the instance. And then we've got a way of loading in or updating authority records too. And then our catalog maintenance group, also deeply appreciated. Let's say our book gets transferred out to remote storage with a bunch of other books, right? We need to grab all of those books. This is still a bit painful. There is not an easy way to grab a subset of inventory records for transformation. So generally, it's folks pulling things off the shelf and putting that barcode in a text file for our Catman folks or a spreadsheet or something like that. But once you have a set of record identifiers, you can create an action in your job profile to modify the MARC. You can then do a sub match. So matching the This is standard, I think, right, for all tenants where the 999 subfield F and subfield I contain UUIDs. So that's a match point that you can use in your MARC data. So yeah, we use data import to catalog. We use it to create orders. We use it to update our authorities. We use it to do inventory management after the fact. We have probably 3 dozen different job profiles, if that gives you an idea. We do create them to be quite customized. I mentioned this, name your job profiles, name them in a systematic way. The thing that I'm really excited about is that starting with Ramsons, there is a way to import and export job profiles so that they can at least be moved maybe from one environment to another without having to totally recreate them. There's no straightforward way for other institutions to use a job profile that I export from my tenant, right? But eventually, I'm hopeful that we get to a point where we can like trade these around and not have to recreate the wheel at every institution. Ryan mentioned the data import SIG and the lab sessions. These are great. I always seem to have a conflict with lab, but the few times I've gone, I've gotten some excellent help. And some documentation I mentioned. We're going to be talking about documentation later today. We'd love feedback about what might be useful for users to have and where it should go. But here's some pages to start. I think that's it for me. We have a few minutes for questions. Yeah. Wait, let me give you the mic.
All right, I'm ready.
Hi, so I'm Jeanette Kalchick. I'm from Stanford. You were just talking about sharing profiles between institutions. I've been trying to think if there's a way where we could share within our institution, so via my Slack message the other day. And I was wondering, is it possible to hack the, we never want to say hack, but to hack the profiles and say, I exported out and I have my information in it, and then you just put your information in it. Would there be like cross UUID issues?
So that's a good question. So what we have support for today for importing and exporting of data import profiles is API based. So it is something we'd like to work on in the future to make that baked into the UI to make it real simple. For today, I do think maybe we can connect over Slack and do some testing because I do think you should be able to support that where if you make an adjustment to you export your profile and you make an adjustment and then import it elsewhere, I think that should be doable. So do
Does
you
the
have any
job
thoughts?
profile itself have a UUID?
Might have to double check on that. I don't think it would bring in the title and all those other details
Okay,
when you
but
export it. But I'm not sure if it would look for a specific UUID.
okay.
But let's double check on that, and
Yeah.
we can talk about that
We should definitely play
in
around
the
with it.
data import SIG Slack channel.
Thanks. This is Lauren. What naming conventions did your organization settle on for job profiles?
Yeah, okay, I have some screenshots here to show you. So cataloging job profiles use like every unit has a prefix. And then we number them after the prefix. And then in the titles, we try to say what it does. Because when you're looking at a list of 20 of these as a cataloger, you need to know you're choosing the right one without having to go into the guts of the job profile and look at what it does in the profiles. Does that help? Great, okay. Anything else? Cool. I hope this was helpful. I am happy to take any. I'll drop my email in the chat, but if you're just starting out and trying to figure this out too, obviously come to data import and all that, but I'm happy to talk with folks one-on-one. Thank you.
Thanks so much, everyone.